ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिता पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सो वी आर ऑलमोस्ट मोर देन हाफ वे थ्रू द फर्स्ट चैप्टर। आई थिंक बिटवीन टुडे एंड नेक्स्ट वीक इट विल बी फिनिश्ड। So we have seen so far in the first chapter that the war is about to start. Arjuna and Bhagwan Shri Krishna come into the battlefield. Bhagwan is driving his magnificent chariot, Arjuna's, with beautiful white horses representing Sattva. And when Arjuna asks Bhagwan to take his chariot, he puts it in the middle in front of Bhishma and Drona. And Arjuna, seeing that and seeing all the relatives, all the Bandhavas, all the gets confused, he gets worried. He says, I don't know what to do, because he realizes that this war is between two branches of the same family and it will result in wholesale destruction. So he no longer has control over his body, his mind. His mind is deluded. His intellect is shaken. His body is trembling. His hands and feet are failing. He's feeling feverish. And he cannot even hold his bow, which he always kept by his side. And he says, I don't know what to do because I don't see anything good happening from this war, because there will be so much damage, so much destruction. The family units will be fighting against each other. And I don't think it is worth fighting. I do not wish to kill my relatives, Swabandhavan. Even if they kill me, I cannot fight. My hands are trembling. How can I fight when I can't even hold my bow and arrow? And so he starts telling Bhagwan Sri Krishna why this war should not be fought. And today we'll see how he continues his discourse. Most of the entire rest of the chapter is Arjuna's talks about the war and about family. And so we'll continue that from shloka number 36. Chapter 1, shloka 36. Nihatya dhartarashtranah. Kapriti syajanardana. Papam evashayedasmat. Advaitanatatainah. Can close that together. Oh, they are coming. Okay. Nihatya dhartarashtranah. Together, sorry. Nihatya dhartarashtranah. Kapriti syajanardana. Papam evashayedasmat. Advaitanatatainah. So chapter 1, shloka number 36. So he says that Nihatya, having killed who? Dhartarashtrana. Dhartarashtran means the sons of Dhritarashtra. So the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. By killing them, Ka Priti Syat Janardana. Oh, Janardana, that is one of Bhagwan Shri Krishna's name. He says, what pleasure will we get killing these Kauravas? In fact, Papam Eva Ashrayet, we will get sin alone. Asmat, for us, what will happen? We will accrue sin. How? Hatva Etan Atataina. Having killed Etan, these Atatais, Atataina, these felons, these criminals. So he's calling them felons and criminals, but says that we should not fight them. We should just surrender and go to the forest. So let us see how his thinking is wrong and why it will lead to problems in society. So he says that we should not kill these people, even though they are felons. And then he calls Bhagwan Shri Krishna Janardana. Janardana is one of his beautiful names. Jana means people. Ardana means Ardayati. One who gives sorrow to people, not to good people, but to the evil people, the evil-minded people. One who gives sorrow to them, destroys them. That's why he said in the fourth chapter, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Bhagavan Krishna says, again and again, I have come in every yuga to protect the good and punish the evil. I came as Sri Rama, I came as Narsimha, I came, all of his avatars were to establish good and destroy evil. So here, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, in this avatar, he, as we saw, he killed so many demons, including his uncle Kamsa. And here, the Kauravas are the demons which need to be eliminated. That's why Bhagwan is on the side of the Pandavas. So Janardana. Janardana also means, Jana means Maya. Janayati iti Jana. So that is Maya. So Janardana means we are all under the influence of Maya. We are deluded and we don't see Bhagwan. We don't see the truth. So with his help, we can remove Maya, the ignorance of Maya, Janardana. And then he says, killing these people who are Atataina, who are felons. So there are six classification of felons. Six type of people are called felons, criminals. So one is one who has tried to poison you. Second is one who has set fire to your house to burn you. Third is one who tries to kill you with weapons. Fourth is one who has taken your land. Fifth is one who has taken your wealth. And sixth is one who has taken your wife. And Kauravas had done all six. They had tried to poison Bhima. They poisoned him and put him in, tied him with a rope, put him in the river. And he was saved by the Nagas. They set fire to their house. You know, they were asked to stay in that house of lacquer and wax. And that house was built in such a way that even one little spark would burn the whole house down in within minutes, within a minute or two. And the Pandavas were sleeping there, and they had thought that at night we will set, and they actually did set fire to the house to kill the Pandavas. This was even much before the war. But Pandavas had been warned by Vidura that in that house, that is the Kaurava's secret plan. And so Pandavas escaped before the night. As soon as the night started, they escaped. And so they survived. So they had poisoned them. They had tried to burn them. Then with weapons, you know, they were the ones who declared war against the Pandavas. The Pandavas were ready to have peace. You know, first they said, give half our kingdom. Okay, not half, give five villages. And Duryodhan said, even one drop of 1 inch of land I will not give. If you want land, fight it. So they were the ones who declared the war. So they had done all three. Then they had stolen their kingdom. You know, Shakuni had cheated them. They had stolen all their wealth and molested. They tried to molest Draupadi, so the wife. So all the six things they would have done. And Arjuna says, yes, they are felons, but we should not do anything for them. According to Vidur Niti, according to Manu Smriti, it is said very clearly that anybody who does one of those six things deserves to be punished and to be killed. That is mentioned in Manu. And so these people have done all six, and he still says, we should leave them, we should let them rule, we should go to the forest. So he's quoting the scriptures, but he's misquoting them. You know, he knows that they are felons, but then that's what happens. People understand scriptures, but then they misunderstand, they misquote, and put their own interpretations on these ancient teachings. And that's what Bhagwan is thinking. And that's why what happened was, in those days, a lot of people had misunderstood the scriptures. A lot of rituals, wrong ideas had come. Ritual means excessive rituals, wrong ideas, wrong thinking. And that's why Ved Vyasji composed the entire Mahabharata, you know, the Bhagavad Gita. He put in there all the Puranas, all the, you know, Vedas were organized so that these teachings should be properly taught. And that was the idea. So that's why Ved Vyasji, who is said to be an avatar of Bhagwan Vishnu, manifested upon the earth to re-establish the right ideas and the right dharmas. That's why Paritranaya Sadhuna Vinashaya Chadushkritam not only means the good and evil people, but even when wrong ideas are getting stronger, the Lord appears to establish the right ideas. We can just close the door. So that's what it means to re-establish the right ideas, the right thoughts, the right concepts. So that's why Ved Vyasji appeared on the earth, to re-establish the Vedic Dharma and to give the right knowledge to us. And then he says, papam eva ashraye dasmat. We will get papa, we will get sin. So what is sin? So sin is, Gurudev describes in his commentary, he says, sin is anything that takes me away from my true nature. So my true nature here is Om. And for those who are new, this chart is a BMI chart, body, mind, and intellect. That is who I am. And using the body, mind, intellect, I become a perceiver, feeler, and thinker of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And most people think I am this body, mind, intellect. They do not realize that my true nature is Om, Atma, which is of all beings. Not only humans, but animals, birds, plants, fish, all have this divinity in them. And why don't we see it? Because our vision is obscured by ignorance, by vasanas, wrong ideas. And because of that, our vision is obscured. So what is papa? Papa is the when our negative vasanas increase, when we do wrong actions, it increases the layer of ignorance and takes me away from my true nature. So anything that takes me away from my true nature is papa. And how does it take away? Because I start thinking I am this body, mind, intellect. That is who I really am. And I forget I am that divine consciousness. And I think I am the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. Perceiver, feeler, and thinker is the ego. So it's also written on the board here. So ego is this feeling of I, me, and my. When I think I am here only for taking care of me, myself, at the most my family, then that is ego. When I separate myself from all humanity, from all beings, and separate myself from God, so that is ego. And so that's what Arjuna is saying, that we will be committing sin. But what Bhagwan is telling him, that you represent dharma. See, the Pandavas represented dharma, the righteousness, the divine forces. And the Kauravas represent evil. And if they are allowed to win, then the whole society will go away from dharma. So what is dharma? Dharma dharayati, that which protects society is dharma. And if Arjuna is not going to protect society, who will? See, it's the kshatriyas who have to protect society. The brahmanas will give us the teachings of the Upanishads and the Vedas and the scriptures. But it is up to the kshatriyas to protect, and it's up to all of us to make sure that we practice dharma. And even a child, you know, in our family, we see that if a child is misbehaving and but continuously doesn't listen to us, we initially scold. And then if he still doesn't listen, even some punishment may be required. So same way, the Kauravas have been consistently for so many years cheating society, cheating the Pandavas, and they deserve to be disciplined and punished. But Arjuna does not understand that. And he continues, but Bhagwan is silent. He doesn't say anything. So Arjuna says, okay, let me come up with one more argument. So number 37. Tasman narhavayam hantum. Dhartarashtran svabandhavan. Swajanam hi katham hatva. Sukhinasyama madhava. Tasman narhavayam hantum. Dhartarashtran svabandhavan. Swajanam hi katham hatva. Sukhinasyama madhava. So now he is giving advice to Bhagwan what we should do, what is right for us. And at the end, he's almost pleading, oh Bhagwan, why do you think, why are we doing this? You think we will get happiness? So let us see what tasmat. Tasmat is a beautiful word, means therefore. So having talked for so long in so many shlokas, we see Arjuna feels that, okay, now I have spoken everything, so Bhagwan should have understood by now. So therefore, he says, therefore, why he thinks so? Because Bhagwan is not talking. So he thought maybe he has not yet understood what I'm saying. So tasmat, he says, therefore, arhan, arha, arhaha is a very beautiful word. We'll explain that, which means It's not worthy of us. We should not do it. Tasman arha vayam hantum. Vayam means we. So for us, it is not behoove us. We are not, it's not worthy of us. We are more knowledgeable. We are better people. So we should not be killing who? Dhartarashtra, the sons of Dhritarashtra, Swabandhavan, they are our brothers. He thinks they are our relatives. They don't. For them, Arjuna is the enemy. The Pandavas are their enemy. And they have come here only to kill them. They are not here to declare peace or anything. Bhagavan Krishna and the Pandavas had tried many times to make peace, and they were not ready. They wanted to kill the Pandavas and take over the entire kingdom. So they didn't think, but Arjuna says they are our relatives, Swabandhavam and Swajanam, and having he katham hatva, Swajanam hatva, even if we kill our near and dear ones, katham sukhina syam madhava. Madhava is, that means Madhava means the mother, Ma is Mother Lakshmi. So Madhava means the Lord of Lakshmi, means Vishnu Bhagavan. So Krishna was, Bhagavan Krishna was a manifestation of Vishnu. So he says, oh Bhagavan, you are that supreme Krishna, Vishnu manifested here, and you are the mother of Mother Lakshmi. You are the Lord of Mother Lakshmi. So please listen. So he's using different names. First he calls him Janardana, then he calls him Keshava. He's calling Madhava. He said, maybe he's not hearing. So different name. Oh, listen to me, listen to me. So tasma, therefore, arha means we should not fight. Why? Because these are our near and dear ones. And by killing our near and dear ones, how can we be happy? How can we be happy? But the thing is, by allowing them to continue, we will still not be happy. That's what Bhagavan is telling him. You think if they are ruling and you go and stay in the forest and, you know, take all your weapons and go stay in the forest, become a sannyasi, and then you won't be able to meditate. Plus, they will be torturing the whole country, and you who have the ability to stop them will regret it. You know, that time I should have fought it, but now I made a mistake and I went to the forest. And there you will be so angry that with your sword you will be cutting trees and plants. Why? Because I have so much anger. And look what they are doing to the whole country, to the whole nation, to the whole kingdom. And why did... So he says, you don't understand what you are doing. Is you yourself are saying they are felons, they are criminals. They have committed every kind of crime in the book. And still you think that they should be excused and they should not be punished. It's like a judge, you know, a person comes to him who is a habitual criminal, who has robbed a bank. And while robbing the bank, he kills the security guard. And then he ran away, and then he kidnapped some person, took his car and took him and went. So he has done everything, kidnapping, murder, robbery, you know, all that, and evading the police. And then even, you know, when the police came, he shot at them. All those crimes he has committed. And the judge says, you know, it's okay, let's forgive him, you know, let him go free. What he will do, he'll go out and commit more crimes. He's not going. Such a person needs to be put in jail. And if his crime is that bad, even, you know, death penalty is he deserves. So same way, these people have committed all the sins and still we are not doing what is what they deserve. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna is not talking. He's quiet. Arjuna wants him to take the chariot to the forest, but Bhagavan has the reins in his hand. He says, I'm not going anywhere. You can keep on talking. You talk as much as you want. I have the chariot in my control. You are not controlling it. So whatever you do, you can do. Whatever you say, you can say. But I know what is good for you, what is good for all, and what is good for society in general. And it's like, and how Arjuna is giving arguments, it's like a teenage girl, you know, she wants to go out, right? Friday night, she wants to go out with her friends. And mother says, no, you can't go. So then she'll come up with various arguments. You know what? All my friends are going. Everybody is going. I am the only one who is not going. And mother doesn't listen. Then she says, you know, that girl, whatever, Sheila, remember you always praise her and you say that, oh, that girl is so nice. She studies so well. She does so good in class. And you're always praising her. That girl is also going. So just as all, not only all my friends are going, but that girl that you are praising, she is also going to this party. Mother says, you still can't go. You know, you have exam tomorrow. You have to study. You know, Monday you have exam. You have to study. You can't go. So then she comes up with a third argument. You know what? I know it's I shouldn't go, but I'll come back by 10 o'clock. I promise I'll come at 10 o'clock. I promise I'll study. So the daughter is trying every argument to convince the mother why she should go to be allowed to go to this party. So same way, Arjuna is using all his arguments to try to convince Bhagwan that why we should not fight the war and what is the reason to give up and to go to the forest. So now we'll do 38 and 39 together. यद्यप्येते न पश्यन्ति लोभोपहत चेतसः कुलक्षयकृतं दोषम् मित्रद्रोहे च पातकम् Yeah, so chapter 1, number 38, also we'll do number 39. Katham nanyeyam asmabhihi papadasman nivartitum kulakshayakritam dosham Prapashyatirjanardana. Together, yadyap yete na pashyanti loho pahata chetasaha kulakshaya kritam dosham mitra drohe cha patakam katham nagneyam asmabhihi papadasmanivartitum kulakshaya kritam dosham prapashyat bhirjanardana. So now he is giving additional arguments where he's saying that, yes, I agree. The Kauravas are criminals. They are felons. They have done all bad things. Not only to us, but they are doing bad to the entire country, to the entire society. They have tried to kill us. They have, you know, all the wrong things, illegal, immoral, all the dirty things, everything they have done. But even then, we should forgive them. So he says, yadyapi, even though ete na pashyanti, these Kauravas do not see. What? And why do they not see? Lobha abhata chetasaha. Their mind is taken away by lobha, by greed, because they are so, mind is so overwhelmed with greed that they are not able to see what is right. These children can go to their class. Maybe, Varshaben, you can take them to the right appropriate class, if you don't mind, please. You want to go to sit with the children of your class, or you want to sit here?
They don't get a class.
We can take them.
Okay. They want to go with your children's class?
You want to go to the children's class or you want to stay here? Stay here. Okay. Yahi rehna, theek hai. But next time if you come, you can go to class of your age. You know, we have class for all ages. From age 3 to 18, we have class for all of them. So he says, even though they do not see what is wrong. Why? Lobha apahat chetasa. Chetasa means their mind is apahat, is stolen by lobha. They are so greedy that they don't see. You know, when a person becomes extremely greedy, when he wants, then he doesn't see what is right, what is wrong. So their mind is overwhelmed by greed. And not only that, but they don't see kula kshaya kritam dosham. They don't see that because of their action, the entire Kuru dynasty will suffer and so many people will be killed. And that evil they are not seeing. And also mitra drohe chapatakam. And they have no problem being disloyal or cheating or, you know, fooling their friends, their relatives, and any kind of sin they have no problem committing. So he keeps on saying that they are criminals, they are crooks, they are dishonest, they have done bad things, but yet we should do nothing for them. Why? Katham, in 39 he says, katham na neyam asma bihi. Why should we not understand from this that they are doing wrong? So it's like somebody is doing wrong, at least I should watch him and I should not do wrong. But, you know, so he says they are doing wrong, it's okay, but we should not do wrong. And papad asmat nivartitum, we should not commit this sin. As we have talked before, the sin is when you allow evil to continue, that is sin. Eliminating evil is not a sin. A judge who puts a criminal in jail is not committing sin. A judge who allows a criminal to go free, that is a sin. So that's what Arjuna is saying, that these criminals should be allowed to continue. And we should see the kula kshaya kritam dosham. What is the evil in the destruction of the family? Prapashyadi. Having seen that, O Janardana, O the one who punishes the evil, we should at least see, you know, we should at least think properly. They cannot think because their mind is contaminated by greed. So he's making all excuses for the criminals and saying, you know, we are good, so we should think better. You know, we should. So let us see what is 38 and 39. So he's basically saying, let us surrender, let us drop our weapons, go to the forest and meditate. And let them have the kingdom. I don't need the kingdom. I don't. But, you know, 12 years you were in the forest. You were planning that when I finish my 12 years of forest and 1 year of hiding, I will fight with these evil people and do what is right. And now suddenly you want to surrender. Then the question is lobha. What is lobha? What is greed? Here we see on the board here, greed. There are two aspects to greed. One is, I want more and more. I want this, I want that, I want that. And not only are we not satisfied with one, but I want two, three, four, five. I have 100,000, I want 1,000,000, I have 1,000,000, I want 2,000,000, 5,000,000, 10. The greed never ends. And to do that, you have to do sometimes dishonest, sometimes cheat. Doesn't matter. I will do whatever is wrong, right, whatever right and wrong, but I must become powerful. I must become rich. So that is one aspect of greed, that I want more and more and more. Second aspect of greed is that person has and I don't have it. I also must get it. It's not that I need it or anything. Why does that person have? Mere paas kyun nahi hai? Why don't I have? So that is the second aspect of greed, where I may or may not need it, but because that person has and I don't have, I must take his also. I must take his property. I must take his business. I must, you know, eliminate him. Again, using any fear or folly. So that is jealousy. So Kauravas had both. They had greed for excessive wealth, power, kingdom. And they had jealousy with Pandavas, that the Pandava actually, when the Pandava had half the kingdom and Kauravas, the Pandava kingdom was doing very well because they were honest, they were sincere, they were running the country properly. That's what we find. If the leader is honest and sincere, the country does well, and the Pandava kingdom was doing very well. But the Kauravas were not doing well because they were dishonest, cheating. So that's why they did that gambling and took the kingdom from Pandavas and were not ready to give it back, even though Pandavas fulfilled all the conditions, 12 years in the forest, 1 year in hiding. So they had both greed and jealousy. And what he says is Kulakshaya Kritam Dosham, the dynasty will be destroyed. You know, the culture that is passed on from one, you know, father to son, the values, the culture, the right ideas, they will all perish, you know, when there's so much destruction. And, you know, they give the example, there is a father and he has two sons, right? The older son and the younger son, and he has divided the property half and half. He has written in the, you know, in his will, he's still alive, but he has written that I will divide the property equal among the two. And I want to retire from the business. So each of you take half the business and you run it. So the younger son says, no, I don't want half. I want more. I want this also. I want that also. And the older son says, but, you know, it was divided equal. A father says, you know, tu bada hai. It's okay. You give up a little bit. Koi baat nahi. Instead of going to court and fighting and all, it's okay. You give up a little bit. It's okay. You can, because you are the older one. You are wise. But then the younger sense, I don't want little. I want the whole property, the entire business. You know, then the older one says, come on. Little bit I am willing to adjust, but you want to take away the entire property. What's going to happen to me, my family, my children? So ultimately, you have to draw a line. Okay, this much I will give. So same way Pandavas had done enough, but now Bhagavan says, you have to draw a line somewhere. You can't just let them keep on doing it. And they say that for a sannyasi, it is okay. You know, if you have taken sannyas and somebody comes and cheats you, takes away, you say, it's okay, I don't need anything. Even if he slaps you on one cheek, sannyasi says, it's okay, slap me on the other cheek, because he has surrendered, he has taken sannyas. For him, nothing matters to him except Bhagavan. But for a kshatriya, that's not right. If you come and slap a kshatriya, a warrior, what is his duty? To give an eye for an eye. You cannot say, okay, turn the other cheek. No, you cannot do that. When you are a warrior and when you are here to protect your kingdom, you cannot allow this thing to happen. So in life, they say there are five things that we should not allow them to grow. One is fire. Second is disease. Third is sin. Fourth is enemy. Fifth is snake. Should not be allowed to grow, should be stopped like a fire. Like, okay, you are in the forest and you have lit a small forest fire. You put it out, right? You don't leave it there, because if you do, the fire will take over the entire forest. Same thing, disease. You know, you have some little illness, you have infection in the throat, and you have, you know, swollen tonsils. You go and take antibiotics from the doctor. You can't say it's okay, theek ho jayega apne aap. It won't. If you don't take care of it, that could spread into the lungs, make pneumonia, then you will get very sick. You might end up in the hospital. So disease has to be taken care of at the first opportunity, like a fire should be put out. Then sin, you know, I'm doing something wrong. So it's okay, ek baar kar diya, koi baat nahi. What's wrong if I did it one time? No, but then when you do it one time, then you will want to do it second time because you were not caught, and third time and fourth time. So you will keep doing wrong things till it multiplies, you know. So again, sin we should not forgive. Then a snake, you know, there is a poisonous snake who is small. You can't say leave him alone, you know, he's a poisonous snake, because when he grows big, then he will, you know, kill people. So that snake either his poison has to be removed or the snake has to be killed. And the fifth is the enemy. The enemy is the same thing. If somebody is criminal, is out to kill you, you cannot leave him alone and say it's okay. You have to. So these five things have to be controlled when they are small: fire, disease, sin, snake, and enemy. So that's what Bhagavan is telling him, that in this situation, the enemy is the one who is, if you don't do anything, they will destroy the whole kingdom. And that's what they say, that in a game, suppose you are playing cricket, or you are playing football or whatever game you are playing, and there are certain rules, that is how the, bowling, batting, how we should. So one team is following the rules and doing correctly. Other team is breaking all the rules, doing everything dishonestly. If you don't stop them, they will win the game by cheating. So same way, the Kauravas are not playing the game fairly. They are cheating and they are disloyal. And if you don't stop them, the whole society will suffer. The example, they have cheated. And the example is the Roman Empire. See, the Roman Empire one time was very powerful. And then all evil things and wrong things came. They started doing everything, overeating, overenjoying, and then, doing all wrong things. And ultimately, the whole Roman Empire crashed and finished completely. So same way, that is what the Kauravas are doing. So they need to be stopped. So Arjuna's arguments seem logical, but actually, if you analyze them, they are not logical. We think, oh, it's okay, why should we fight? But we will see in the second chapter, Bhagavan will destroy each of these arguments one by one. But here we are seeing why his arguments are not logical. They are not right. So next one is chapter 1, shloka number 40. Kulakshaye pranashyanti.
Kulakshaye pranashyanti.
Kuladharma sanatanaha.
Kuladharma sanatanaha.
Dharme nashte kulam kritsnam.
Dharme nashte kulam kritsnam.
Adharmo bhivavat yuta.
Adharmo bhivavat yuta.
Together, kulakshaye pranashyanti, kuladharma sanatanaha, dharme nashte kulam kritsnam, adharmo vibhavat yuta. So now he's again teaching Bhagwan what is right, what is wrong, teaching him dharma. Bhagwan is the source of all the knowledge of dharma, and he's teaching him what is right, what is wrong. So he continues his argument. So kulakshaya means destruction of family. We had talked about that in the last shloka, how the dynasty will be destroyed, the family. So he says, kulakshaya, when the family is destroyed, pranashyanti, what will happen? Kula dharma sanatanaha, all our traditions, all our dharmas, all our right mode of conduct, ancient sanatana, because our religion, we don't say it is Hindu religion, we say sanatan dharma, because it is the most ancient religion. So Arjuna is saying it is our religion is thousands of years old, and this all this wisdom that has come down and traditions, they will be destroyed. If the family is destroyed, the traditions will not continue. And dharme nashte, and when the dharma is destroyed, when the right conduct is destroyed, kulam kritsnam, the entire kulam means the family, the dynasty, kritsnam means the entire our family, our dynasty will be destroyed. Adharma abhibhavati, adharma, the wrong ideas will overpower the good ideas. Uta, muta means indeed, definitely. So he's telling Bhagwan that when adharma overpowers dharma, then the dynasty will be destroyed. Bhagwan said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. You are allowing adharma to grow. So we'll see how in 40, we see that what is the family and what is culture. See, family is a unit of society. You know, even though we say, oh, my family and his family, but ultimately, just as in the wall, there are bricks, and the strength of the wall depends on the strength of the bricks. So same way, the culture of society depends, starts from the family. If I, in my family, don't do what is right, don't teach my children what is right, then the children will grow up and do wrong things. And not only that, but if I am a leader in my community and if my family, I am not teaching them well, then other people start following. So slowly, each family will get worse and worse, just as one brick is bad and, you know, it falls and then the second one falls, slowly the wall can collapse if the bricks are not good. So same way, if the family's tradition and culture is not maintained, the entire family can perish. And among the evil, or among the people, the entire world, there are four kinds of people which have been described in our scriptures. They are called Palmer. Here you can see in number 40, Palmer, Vishayi, Sadhaka, and Siddha. Those who are on Zoom, Amit has put them on the WhatsApp, Gita WhatsApp. So you can see there are four classes of people. Our rishis have described everything and divided so beautifully. So Palmer, what are Palmer people? Palmer people are the ones who do wrong and they don't care who's watching, who's seeing. They don't mind in openly, you know, doing wrong, committing crimes, you know, viciously and hurting people. And then nothing stops them. They are the worst kind. You know, we will do wrong no matter who says what. Then Vishayi are a little bit better. They believe in doing wrong, but only when nobody is watching. So I should hide and do. I should hide and cheat. I should hide and do wrong. I should cheat on my taxes or cheat people or, you know, steal somebody's wealth. But as long as I am not caught. First one doesn't care, you know. Second one says, I'll do it only if I'm not being caught. That is called Vishayi. Now, if society has predominantly Palmer and Vishayi, what will happen to society? Predominantly people are corrupt, dishonest, and they don't care, or they will get away whatever they can get away with. Then the society will not do well. Then the third is Sadhaka. Sadhaka are the people who are good and they are trying to be good. So Pandavas were Sadhakas, Arjuna was Sadhakas, that they were being good. They were trying to live life honestly, sincerely. And most of their actions were very sattvic, very pure. And so they were trying to make themselves better and make society better. So those are the Sadhakas. The fourth are the Siddha Purusha. Siddha Purusha means the enlightened masters who have already accomplished. So Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda ji, or Shankaracharya ji, or Ramakrishna Paramhans, Vivekananda. So these great realized masters who had attained enlightenment, they are the Siddha Purusha, the highest category. So that's what they say, that in our life, we should definitely not be Palmer, you know, not care about who is being hurt. Also, we should not be Vishayi. You know, we cheat as long as I can get away, nobody catches. No, our goal should be Sadhaka. We should be the seekers of truth, try to do good. And ultimately, the goal of life is to become Siddha. Goal of our life is to, highest goal is that I should become one with God. I should accomplish that. So Kauravas were definitely Palmers because they didn't care whose property they stole, whose wife they took and whose land and everything. They had no problem doing the wrong things. And so the Kauravas were the lowest of the culture, the Palmer, the, you know, not even Vishayi, Sadhaka. So Bhagwan Krishna is telling Arjuna that they deserve to be punished. They deserve to be put in jail or punished or done. Not, of course, in those days there was no jail, but they need to be destroyed because the Kauravas have done everything wrong against us. And what they say, Kula Dharma Sanatana, Hamari jo ancient traditions hai of our society, our culture, you know, how to live life. And those are being slowly will be destroyed if the evil are allowed to go. And we find there are rituals, there are certain traditions that have from time immemorial, we have been practicing respect for parents, respect for elders, respect for guru, honesty, truthfulness, not cheating, lying. and they should continue. But the modern society, kids sometimes say, oh, this is all obsolete, you know, doing all these pujas and singing bhajans and chanting the mantras. That's all. It was good in thousands of years back. Aajkal ki society, this is a modern society. We live in the atomic age. And why we want to do these old-fashioned things? You know, that's what the youth believe, and that is the wrong thing. Thinking. So that's what happens when dharma is not supported and adharma increases. That's what he says, adharma bhi abhibhavati. Adharma will take over dharma. When dharma is not maintained, all our family traditions, our culture, whatever is mentioned in Ramayana, Mahabharata, in Bhagavad Gita, in all the scriptures, all those things have to be practiced. They are not only there in the book to read, okay, book padi and close. When I read Bhagavad Gita or Ramayana, when I read Ramayana, how Sri Ramchandra ji lived his life, that's what we have to learn. When we read Bhagavad Gita, how the right teachings were given to us. When we read Mahabharata, how the wrong people lived and the right people lived. So all those things have to be practiced. It's not something obsolete or something which is outdated. But when adharma increases, that's what Bhagwan had said again and again, that my purpose in life is to establish dharma and remove adharma. That's why all these avatars come. Ram, Shri Ram came when Ravan was dominant. Bhagwan Shri Krishna came when Kansa and all the demons and Kauravas were like Rakshasas. They were demons. Narsingh avatar came when Hiranyakashyapu. So yada yada hi dharmasya, Bhagwan says Klanir Bhavati Bharata in the fourth chapter, Abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever adharma increases and dharma is suffering, I come again and again. So here, Arjuna is saying, let adharma keep on growing. We don't need to stop it. We should only do our duty. And if we cannot remove adharma, we should surrender. So wrong thinking. And that's what. Today we'll do the last one, number 41. Now what will happen when adharma increases? So chapter 1, shloka number 41. Adharma bhibhavat Krishna. Pradushyanti kulastriyah. Strishu dushtasu varshneya. Jayate varna sankarah. Together, adharma bhibhavat Krishna tadushyanti kulastriyah strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna sankarah. So now he's using another name, calling him Krishna. First he called him Janardhan, he called him Keshava, he called him Madhava. Now Krishna, again, thinking, maybe he's listening. He's to shake him. Oh no, you listen to me, what I'm saying. So again, he's now teaching Bhagwan, who is the source, Jagat Guru, Krishna. He's teaching him what is dharma, what is adharma. So he says, adharma abhibhavat. When adharma increases, O Krishna, what will happen when adharma, when the dharma goes down and adharma increases, wrong people increase? Pradushyanti kulastriya. Kulastriya means the women of the family will get polluted, will get corrupted. We'll see what that means. And strishu dushtasu varshneya. Now another name, varshneya, because Krishna belongs to the Vrishni dynasty. So he says, you belong to the Vrishni dynasty, O Krishna. When women get corrupted, when they get polluted, jayate varna sankaraha, there will be admixture of castes. So why is he saying that? Because women are the pillar of the family. The family does well when the woman is doing the right thing. She holds the family together. That she's the, more than the man, it is the woman that is responsible for family culture, for teaching them right values. The husband is going out to work, but the wife is the one who teaches the children the right things, maintains the culture, all the traditions, the pujas, and also they are the important pillar in the family. So that's what he's saying, that when these women get polluted, what do they mean by polluted? So here they explain in the commentary that what will happen, say, after this war, what Arjuna is saying, that so many men will be killed, right? Women will be there, older people will be there, children will be. So say now it is 50 men for 50 women, but now suddenly 40 men get killed. So there are only 10 men for 100 women, or 20 men for 80 women. So there are, you know, the number is now disproportionate. So these women will have nobody to protect them. They will be single. They will have no husband. So they need some protection. So many women and few men, so they will then start, you know, mixing with men of different, they will not maintain their morality, their culture. That's what Arjuna is saying. And not only that, but they will start intermingling the caste. Now, what is caste? You know, misunderstood. People think that caste is by family, that Brahmin will only have Brahmin, children will be Brahmins, Kshatriya children will be Kshatriya. That is a misinterpretation, because Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashah. So the quality and the karmas determine the caste, not his birth. Not that a Brahmin son is Brahmin, Kshatriya is son, Kshatriya, Shudra son is Shudra. That is a wrong understanding of caste. And that's what also Gandhiji and so many other, you know, Lokmanya Tilak and so many other people tried to eliminate this caste, wrong understanding of caste. In the original thinking was that if a person who is a scholar, who can do chanting or who can teach, he's a Brahmin who can teach, like college professors, school teachers, they are Brahmins, ones who are teaching, who are doing rituals. Kshatriyas are the ones who are administrators, who are warriors, who are, you know, running the country, politicians. Vaishyas are the business people, the farmers, the industrialists, owners of business. And Shudras are workers. Not that Shudras are inferior. They are also equally important. If you have a factory built and there are no workers in the factory, factory cannot run. If there is a farm, but there are no farm workers. So business people need workers. Office may you need workers. In the government, you need workers. So all four are equally important, and it is not by birth. So we find many times, you know, somebody may be belonging to his parents, may be very, very poor, but he works hard and makes himself very successful. He becomes successful businessman. So it is not that because his parents are poor, he's committed to that. So caste is something based on actions. And we find some people may be very, you know, maybe belong to a Brahmin caste and they are doing puja and all, but their motive is not to spread the knowledge, but to how much money I can make from this church. And we find some people, even though they may be big people in churches, you know, temples and all, if their motive is money making, then they are calling themselves Brahmin, but they are functioning like Vaishyas. So that's what they're saying. So caste is based on your ability, not on your birth. And that's what all our teachers try to teach us. And marriage, again, should happen between people who are of the same status. Not that, so if somebody is, you know, very cultured, another one is not, one believes, the wife believes that we should do puja, rituals, prayers, and all, and the husband said, hey, why you want to waste time and all this, let's go for parties, drinking. So he's all the time gone, and then the marriage will not work unless the two are thinking alike. So that is what maintains a family, when the husband and wife think alike, what is good for their family, what is good for culture, and when they have a common goal in life, that is when the family flourishes. So that's what Bhagwan is saying, that the husband and wife have to think together. If they are very different thinking, then the children will not know whom to follow. Should we go with dad to parties, drinking and all, or should I stay with mother and stay home and do pujas? So society can only function when the couples are working in harmony. If they are not, and if there is a culture where it is like, say, there is a building which has small holes and little defect, you can fix it, right? But if the building is destroyed, the roof is broken and the walls are broken and everything is gone, foundation is shaking, you say this building cannot be repaired. It has to be destroyed and a new building has to be made. So Kauravas had done that to the society. They had made it bilkul, you know, like what they call is like Timak, you know, like they have infiltrated society and made it so corrupt and dirty that society could not be saved if they were allowed to continue. Just as the building needs to be destroyed to build a new one, same way society needs to destroy, remove these evil Kauravas to rebuild a good society. That's what Bhagwan is telling him. But he is not thinking. So he will continue on this line. We will do that next week. We will continue this same argument. Arjuna is continuing his argument. So we will study his argument and why his argument is wrong. Because it seems very logical that we should not fight, but we see that the arguments he is giving are wrong. So we will find defects in his argument. And that's how we will. That's the idea of the first chapter, that Arjuna does not know what is right. He's giving wrong arguments. So Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary and other acharyas have told us why Arjuna's arguments are wrong. And Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the second chapter will himself argue against that. So that's we are. We end here. We have about 5 to 7 minutes. Anybody has any questions or comments, either here in the audience?
Yeah. I have a small question. You know, you were saying that because Arjuna is in the warrior class, that he must fight. But I wonder, isn't it, no matter what class or what group you're from, isn't it your duty to do certain things?
Yes.
Including, you know, fighting if necessary.
Right, right. So what Kerry is saying, that Arjuna is a warrior, and you're saying he should fight and others should not. The reason Arjuna should fight, because Arjuna was trained from childhood. It's like you have trained a person in the army from, you know, he joined the army and 10, 15 years you are trained, you're given all the weapons. And then when war comes, the soldier says, I don't want to fight. No, I'm not. Other enemies attacking your kingdom, it is your duty to fight. So Arjuna was a trained warrior. In fact, he was the best warrior on the Pandava side. If Arjuna had not fought and left the battle, the Pandavas would have lost. Of course, it is the duty of everyone to fight against evil. But then there are certain people who are trained, like policemen. You know, not everybody cannot go and arrest the criminals, right? You cannot decide, okay, this guy is a criminal, I'm going to put handcuffs and take him to jail. So certain jobs are assigned to certain members of society. While certain jobs, you know, like a pandit who is doing puja in the temple, you cannot tell him, okay, now you pick up gun and go fight. Because he's not trained for that. So what they are saying is Arjuna from very young age had been trained to be a warrior. Dronacharya had taught him and he had learned and Kripacharya and all. So it is his duty to fight the war. And also, later on, Bhagwan will say, yat yat acharati sreshta tat tat eve taro janaha. So as the sreshta does, others will follow. So like suppose the leader does something wrong, it will become it will encourage others to do wrong. If the leader does right, then others will do right. So that's why. But thank you. That's a good question.
I have one question.
Yanji.
I believe in God.
Yes.
I feel like I've always been in touch with Him. But I don't know, I don't have a daily routine of prayer or something. Can I, sometimes I feel like I'm a nasty guy. I'm not in the surrender.
Yeah.
That's sounding right
I think his question is that he says, I believe in God, but I don't practice every day the right thing, daily puja. I think there are two things. One is, what is my behavior? If I am being honest, truthful, sincere, not lying, not cheating, not hurting, that is very good. But the reason to remember God every day and pray, even if you don't sit and do formal prayer, you may not know all the rituals, but just stand in front of God and say, oh, Bhagwan, and please be with me. If you know some simple prayers, just chant them. So what it does connects our mind to God, and God is all purity, love, goodness. So when I'm connected with, it's like a magnet, you know, an iron piece. Away from the magnet is not, but when it gets close to the magnet, itself becomes a magnet. So that's why we see in all these Mahatmas, when they are connected with God, then you can see God in them. So the reason to do some regular puja or some is that to connect our mind with God and ask God for his presence. Oh God, please be with me today as I go to work. So even if you don't know formal prayer, you can just talk to God. You know, at least 5-10 minutes before you leave the house. Oh God, I'm going to work. And same way for a mother, you know, when she starts the day, you know, sit in front of God, do a little puja, and teach the children also before going to school. Just sit for a minute in front of in the puja room or in front of God. All right. So your mind connects to God and you imbibe those qualities, and then you get God's strength with you. Being with you, God, please be with me. And also asking for forgiveness. If I have done something wrong, oh God, please forgive me. So some amount of contact with God is good. It's beneficial. Okay, we can end here. And we'll see you next Sunday. Everybody, please go to the hall. We'll do the aarti and closing prayer. And then we have lunch. Sponsored by Manish Ahuja family. So please stay for lunch. Thank you to them for sponsoring the lunch. So we'll do the closing prayer. And next week, we'll try to finish the first chapter and then start the second chapter the week after next. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma kaschid dukha bhag bhave. Om shanti 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 harihi om shri gurubhyo namah harihi om. Thank you very much. Harihi om. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for joining on Zoom. See you all next week. Harihi om. Harihi om.